Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Then he'll look at me and say, well done. Welcome home, my faithful child. And as I stand before his throne, the trials I have known, they will all be worthwhile.
Worthy is the Lamb.
What a powerful medley of songs by Friends Four. Redemption draweth nigh. Signs of the times are everywhere, and indeed they are. And throughout the month of July, we have been talking about heaven. We've been talking about the coming of Jesus. We've had music that has that theme in the words, and I hope that you've enjoyed the music. And I hope you've enjoyed the first part of my father's sermon on the second coming of Jesus Christ. I do apologize for the noise in the recording, but it's an old recording. I did my best to clean it up so you could at least hear Dad as he preaches this strong message on the second coming of Jesus. So I do apologize for the quality of the recording, but I think you can hear it without any difficulty in spite of the background noise. I hope you'll pray for me as we're finishing up the month of July at Camp Syker in Mount Vernon, Ohio. We'll finish there this weekend, and then we'll have a few days off before heading over to Campsville, Illinois, to the Hillcrest Holiness Camp, August 5 to 11. And then August 18th, Family Worship Center in Mattoon, Illinois, just that Sunday only. And then the last weekend of the month of August, we'll be at our annual evangelist gathering in Michigan. Looking forward to that. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the hope that we have for the coming of Jesus. And we want to get everybody we can ready for that coming. We want to get people, loved ones, family members who don't know you into that relationship with you so they can be ready should you come or call. So I pray, Father, for our lost loved ones today and ask that you would go to wherever they are, whatever they're doing. May they have a strange sense of God's presence right now. We pray for those who are sick, those who are shut in, all of our listening audience that might be facing difficulty right now. Father, you know what it is, and I pray that you'd be with them in a very special way. We love you today, Father. Thank you again for your Son, and we thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the opportunity to share the Word through the medium of preaching and radio. I ask God, pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. As always, don't forget to pray for us and write to us if you can help us out with the expense of the program. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. God bless you as you listen today.
Many times our work seems endless as we labor in the field, but I know the day is coming when sweet rest will be revealed. Resting place, four square city, resting place, heavenly shore, resting place, land of beauty, where we'll rest forevermore. Traveling here, the road gets weary. Many trials along the way. But my Lord has said, be faithful. Your reward will come someday. Resting place, four square city, resting place, heavenly shore, resting place, land of beauty, where we'll rest forevermore. There's a place prepared up yonder, where the cool, clear waters flow, and I'm longing for that country. Someday soon, that's where I'll go. Resting place, four square city. Resting place, heavenly shore. Resting place, land of beauty, where we'll rest forevermore. Resting place, land of beauty, how I'm longing for that country, where we'll rest forevermore.
After Methodists and Baptists, Presbyterians and Pentecostals and Nazarenes and Wesleyans and what have you. He's coming after the blood washed. He's coming after men and women that have not only been redeemed from their outward transgressions and had their outward sins covered, but he's coming after people that have had a cleansing that's taken place on the inside of their soul, that know what it is to walk in newness of life. He did not promise one time that he would ever come back after anybody that was living a life of willful transgression and sin. I know there are lots of folks who say, well, I just don't believe that, Brother Lohman. Well, I'm just giving you what the book says. He's coming back, and he's coming after his chosen bride. A feller asked me not long ago, he said, well, what if you go by the way of the cemetery? I said, if I go by the way of the cemetery, the first noise I hear, I'm coming out on resurrection morning. Yes, sirree. I believe that those that are who are dead in Christ are going to have first priority when he comes. When the trumpet sounds, beloved, they're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, if you'll notice that the book says in one of the passages that I read in your hearing or quoted in your hearing, that when Jesus Christ sat there on the Mount of Olives and they said, Master, tell us when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, the first thing that Jesus said was, take heed that no man deceive you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've never lived in a day when there's as many people deceived as they are tonight. Some people sit through a holiness camp meeting. They habitually go to services time after time. The Holy Spirit pricks their heart. They see their need. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, they absolutely back off from old-fashioned gospel truth because they're not willing to cut the sore line loose and drive the stake down and put up the flag of unconditional surrender. And many of them are deceived into believing that because of who they are and their circumstance in life, that they've got it made. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be who you are that'll make the difference, but it'll be what you are in the grace of God that'll make the difference. People call it a bloody religion. They call it a butcher shop religion. But Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. We've never lived in a day when people are as deceived as they are tonight. Some people will have you believe, some preachers, and I'll get myself in trouble with preachers tonight. I don't fight preachers. I respect every man of the cloth that'll preach this word and stick to the book and cry out against sin and hold the standard high. ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to stand back reluctantly and keep my lips closed against the crowd today that's deceiving the people and that's trying to make them believe that you really don't have to get too overly concerned about heart-temp religion. You can just belong to the church and you can do this, that, and the other and have a form of godliness and go through the ritual and go through the ceremony. And we've got a good God and a loving God, and he won't consign anybody to the pits of hell. Listen, friend, if you're being deceived tonight in that area, you're living in a fool's folly. He says, don't let anybody deceive you. Some of them are telling you today that as long as you're sincere in what you believe, you got it made. Well, I question that. I question that. Because now you get what I'm about to say, because I had a co-worker some years ago in a camp meeting that challenged me after I'd made the statement, but he didn't listen to what I said. Sincerity within itself is not a prerequisite for heaven. I'll admit you've got to be sincere when you come to Jesus. You've got to be sincere when you pray and repent and confess your sin. You've got to be sincere in this business of going with God, but sincerity within itself is not a prerequisite for heaven. You say, Brother Rome, what do you mean? Don't any of you take offense to what I'm about to say other than for truth. There are people in Lakeland, Florida tonight that go to the pool to be baptized on Sunday morning for the remission of sin in water. They're as sincere as any person in this tabernacle tonight, but they're sincerely wrong. You say, what do you mean? The book says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. You don't go to the Baptist to be baptized to be saved. You go to the Baptist to be baptized because you are saved. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. I'm not going to draw straws with you, beloved, on modes of baptism tonight. I'm just saying that if you think you're going to get by on water, you're deceived. We have any Catholics in our congregation tonight? I'm certainly not throwing at you, only to say this. To this congregation, there are people in this city that have the holiness people skin a mile, if you'll pardon that terminology. Well, brother, if you'd announce morning mass every morning at 8 o'clock, people testify to being saved and sanctified, you would have a baker's dozen to come consistently. But those people will go. They'll go get up early and they'll go to morning mass. They'll count beads. They'll confess to a priest. And they're as sincere as you are. But they're sincerely wrong. You don't come to know Jesus Christ. And you don't come to get ready for the coming of the Lord counting beads and confessing to a man. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I don't believe a man has to confess to a human being on the face of this earth to have his sins forgiven except Jesus Christ. And beloved, you can come to him. The only confession outside of that I think you have to make is when you hurt somebody or wrong somebody, there be restitution that you may have to make in asking forgiveness. But beloved, just to confess to a man or to go to some man-made altar and not be sincere in your heart to be done with the sin business, if you have fallen into that line, you're deceived. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Living in that day, people are all over this country. And I know my message tonight may sound a little elementary to some of you, but I want to talk clear enough and plain enough for every one of you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of folks these days, ladies and gentlemen, that have got the idea that because they belong to a certain denominational body, they've got it made. Well, you're deceived. And there's some people who actually take the stand, well, if you don't belong to our crowd, you're not going to make it. You're deceived. Because there's a whole lot of folks don't belong to your crowd that's going to make it. Amen. You don't have to act a certain way. You don't have to put on certain colors. And you don't have to carry on some peculiarities, brother, to convince somebody that you've been to Calvary. I just believe if you've been born again, the Holy Ghost abides within your soul. You'll walk straight and you'll talk right and you'll live a life that's exemplary and influential. Matters, beloved, to convince people that you've been with God that's conducive to Christian influence. And ladies and gentlemen, outside of that, you'll never make it. Card signing and handshaking with a preacher's not going to get you in. Bless your heart, beloved, tonight. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Wickedness all around about us tonight. Modernism, liberalism on every side. Wickedness on the earth. Idolatrous worship. People won't endure sound doctrine. I've been ostracized a few times because I dared be plain and outspoken when it came to gospel truth. hear me tonight, friend, and some people, oh yeah, they put up a barrier against you and somewhat of a barrier between you and them because you dare stand in the gap to preach the truth. But let me say what I've said many times. You better thank your God that there's a few preachers left that'll still stand in the gap and put up the red light and sound the warning and blow the trumpet in Zion. You say, Brother Lowman, it's not popular. I'm not courting popularity. I want to be thought well of. I want to be respected. I'm going to do my best to live as close as a preach. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me tonight. I could care less what anybody thinks about me because I believe what this book says. And I'm going to preach it as long as he lets me have breath till he comes or calls. And if he lets me live, if he lets me live, and you keep coming to camp meetings across this country, and you drop into where I'm preaching, you'll still find me holding fast to this old-fashioned, unadulterated gospel truth, brother, that'll absolutely put you in the way that leads to life eternal and put a witness within your soul that makes you know you belong to the family of God, and you can testify that you're not what you used to be, that things have changed. He abides within your soul, and you know it, and you're done with the sin business. I was born too soon for these modern-day moderns. I remember some years ago, I used to be on the radio every day in North Carolina, and every time I would go to hold a revival somewhere, I'd buy radio time and have the radio program on in the areas where I was preaching. I was holding a meeting in Danville, Virginia, in the South Hall Baptist Church, one of the great Baptist churches in eastern or in southern Virginia. And I bought a contract, and I went to that radio station day after day, and I was preaching one afternoon, and I made this statement. I was preaching on the blessing of sins forgiven. And I made this statement in my introduction. There are pastors and priests, deacons and stewards, choir members and Sunday school teachers, living like the devil and using the church for a hiding place. And I went on, brought my message. I said, there's two ways of covering sin, God's way and man's way, but God's way is the only sufficient way. I finished my message the next afternoon when I got to the station. The manager said, Mr. Lowman, the president of the Ministerial Association wants to see you. I said, I'll be happy to see you. When I was through with the broadcast that afternoon, I walked out and there he stood dressed in his priestly garb. And I was introduced to him. And I was taught to be kind and considerate to people before I ever become a Christian. My mother brought me up that way. And I was introduced to him and I said, I'm glad to meet you, Dr. Wicker. He didn't say he's glad to meet me. He didn't act like he was even congenial about it or even cared whether he met me or not. But he said, did you say that there were pastors? And he heard me because I said it. I couldn't have got out of it if I had tried to. He said, did you say on the radio yesterday afternoon that there were pastors and preachers and deacons and stewards and Sunday school teachers and choir members living like the devil and using the church for a hiding place? I said, yes, sir. I said that. Well, he said, there's not but two priests in this town. Which one of us was you talking about? I said, Dr. Wicker, I don't mean to be unkind, but I said, they always told me that a hit dog always hollered. And he got red in the face. He kind of bowed his back. He said, well, you're going to apologize to me over the radio for that remark. I said, sir, I never apologized to the devil before, and I'm not starting now. The manager of the station turned to me and he said, well, Mr. Lowman, he says, you'll have to get this thing straightened out or you can't go back on. I said, that's perfectly all right. You'll have to refund my money and cancel my contract. Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you. I don't know it all. I'll admit I don't. I'm amazed how little I do know. But there's one thing, brother, that God's helped me to do for over 35 years is to refuse to back up one iota relative this old-fashioned truth to the devil and the modernists and the liberals and the skeptics and the infidels across this country. And I believe that Jesus is coming. And one reason that it's not being preached anymore is because there's so many church members across the country that don't want to hear any kind of gospel truth that'll make you think seriously and soberly about your destiny. They canceled my contract on that radio station, refunded my money. 6 months later, that man was run out of that city, involved in a morals case. I could understand why he didn't like for a preacher to preach like that. I was preaching in Burlington, North Carolina on the radio every day. Gave up my daily program, came to Saturday morning, been on that one station 35 years, every Saturday, 10 o'clock. I was tuning my radio to that station on Monday morning, and I heard the preacher that took my place. He said, and I had preached on the Saturday previously, on the text, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." I was preaching on the Ten Commandments. You know, we got some folks today that tell you that you don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments and the dispensation of grace. Well, I got news for you. Ten Commandments won't bother you if you get under grace. You won't have any trouble with the Ten Commandments if you get the grace of God to be an effective reality in your heart. And this fella, he was preaching, and he said, "I'm going," he said, "last Saturday morning." He said, "with a little go-by-night preacher on this station." Well, anybody listening to the station knew that I was the only preacher on that station on Saturday morning. They knew who he was talking about. And he was preaching on the Ten Commandments. And he said, "I'm going to prove to you this morning that you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments." And he said, "I want you to turn with me to the epistles of John." Now, I don't know at all, but I thought to myself, that fellow must not know where he's going, because he's going to the wrong place to prove that out of the epistles of John. And honestly, I don't think he knew it was there, because he started and he took one verse and he commented a little bit. Then he took another verse and he came on down the next verse. And that verse says, "Hereby we do know that we love him if we keep his commandments." And it upset him so, he says, "We'll pass on." And the next verse, just a little further, says, "And any man saith he loveth me and keepeth not my commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him." And he said, "Folks, my time's up. I've got to go." And they played 11-minute interlude to finish out his time. 6 months later, they run him out of Ashburn, North Carolina. Too many women on his string. You see, friend, tonight, oh yeah, I know you may think I'm off base here tonight, but I'm wanting the Holy Spirit to help us to see and stir us up just a little bit about this business of enduring sound doctrine and believing the truth and what the Word has to say concerning these cardinal principles of truth. Jesus is coming.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.